God has favored me to be able to work with some great, great fellows over these years. Had some wonderful assistant pastors, wonderful help here on staff, from Brother Don to Brother Harrison to Brother Mike to these men that have been here, to Brother Jason, the men that have now. And, of course, just a wonderful run with Brother Caleb. And this is not the last time he will preach here. This is the last time he'll preach here as our assistant pastor. Amen. So next time he comes back, he'll preach as Pastor Hansen. But I wanted him to give him a chance tonight. And I told him not to be worried about being so theologically deep or whatever, but just to share his heart. I'm sure that's what he'll do. So I believe the McDonald's are singing tonight. Come on up and sing for us. And then after they sing, you give your undivided attention to Brother Caleb, and we'll hear him gladly. Okay? Thank you so much.
These days are drawing close to an end. God has been working on you, my dear friend. Your heart has been tender, your spirit so bold. For you who love Jesus, a message we hold. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned. May every seed sown in love here be reaped in your life. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned.
Take your Bibles and go over to Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. I want to say thank you so much, preacher, for letting me preach tonight. I count it a great privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit every time I have. I count it a great privilege. And it's a blessing also to see my good friend, Brother Jason. My goodness. Brother, thank you so much. That's a long trip for you. I've come up just for a Sunday night, and my heart has been knit to Brother Jason's while we were assistant pastors together, 6.5 years, something like that, and so good to see you, brother. Thank you so much for coming up, and I wish I could sit down and just talk to each one of you and just tell you how much I love you and what you mean to my heart, and there's different. Each face, each one of you, when your face comes in my mind, I have a story or I have an event that took place, and I either start laughing or crying or one of the two. But my heart is just so full. And over the last 8 years, you have invested so much into my life. And there's no way I'm going to be able to say thank you in one message in half an hour or 20 minutes. There's no way I'm going to be able to say thank you enough. And all the different stories and events that we've been able to share together, memories. I wish I could relive many, many memories tonight. But I do want to echo one thing here in this text verse, Romans chapter 1. I will not be deep. It's very difficult for me to get very deep. So I will stay on the surface tonight, all right? So we're over there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Gentile and to the barbarian, both to the wise." Excuse me, "I'm debtor to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise." The Apostle Paul here, he's starting his opening of the epistle, this epistle to the saints at Rome. And he tells them in the first few verses, he says, "I want to praise you for your faith and your love towards God. It is known abroad, the whole world." He said, "Your faith has been spoken of." He says, "I praise you and I condemn, or I praise you and I commend you for your love towards the Lord." And then he reveals his desire to be with these saints in Rome. He says, "I wish I could be with you, and I have purposed in my heart to come and visit you, but just hindrances have come, and I haven't been able to spend the time that I wanted to with you." And then it seems like at the very end of his greeting here at the first few verses of chapter 1, it seems like he just pulls back the veil to his heart and the veil to his feelings. And he tells the people there in Rome, the saints there, he says, "I am debtor. I am debtor to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise." He said, "I am debtor." And Paul said, "I have a great, I've been given a great, great gift. I've been given such a valuable gift, and it's going to take me the rest of my life to repay what I have been given." And Paul said, sometimes the greatest elements of the greatest gift that can be given us is not the element of money, but rather the elements of life, love, and the joy, and the comfort, and the fellowship that we get with one another. And some of those things can just never, never be replaced. And some of those things can never be paid back to the people that you received them from. And tonight, all I want to do is just harmonize my voice with the Apostle Paul and tell you, I'm a great, great debtor tonight. I'm a great debtor to Faith Baptist Church, to this wonderful group of people that the Lord has assembled here on the corner of Armour Road and Mooney. I am debtor, and I will always be debtor for the rest of my life, for the things that you have taught me, and through the things that I have learned here, through the things that you have invested in, the joy that you've given me, and just the blessing that it has been being with you for the last 8 years. My heart echoes with the Apostle Paul. I am debtor to the members of Faith Baptist Church. I remember the first time coming to work as assistant pastor here at Faith Baptist Church. I was so excited that morning. I couldn't wait to get out the door. And back then, it was just Emily and I. And I was so excited. I ran out the door, ran down the stairs of our apartment, and got in the car. I was halfway here. And I looked around and said, "Good night. Here I'm an assistant pastor. I don't even have my Bible with me. What in the world? I got to get back to the house and get my Bible. I'm in the ministry now. I can't go to work without my Bible." Oh, my. But from that first day of coming in coming into my the office back there and the whole office being empty, and Ben was working here at that time, and he said, "Well, here's your office, and go ahead and get situated and get settled in. And so I went around the desk and I sat in the chair. I said, well, I'm settled in. That's all I have to bring. I have the books. I don't have anything to put in the file cabinet. I don't have anything. Here I am. I guess I wait for the phone or start punching numbers in. And, hey, you want to work at VBS? Oh, my goodness, the first day in the office. But so many phone calls have come through and so many people have come in, and the things that I have learned in the office and learned out visiting with you, you don't realize, but when I'm visiting with you, I'm listening and I'm learning all the time different techniques that you use and things that I try after we're done visiting. I'll go back out and I'll try those things and I'll apply them into my visitation and things like that. But I've learned and I have gleaned so much from each and every one of you that I would have to say tonight, I am debtor. I am debtor. I owe a great debt. A great debt that you have given me over the last 8 years. And I believe, first of all, I'm debtor to the people of God. I'm debtor to the people of God. The Bible says that Paul told the church at Rome, he said, in the very last chapter of the book, he said, I want you to make sure you salute. And he goes through a list of people, saints there in the church. He said, I want you to make sure you salute this person and salute this person and tell them how much they mean to me. And I believe tonight that the greatest debt that a person can owe is delivered to them through people. I owe a great debt tonight, and it's been delivered to me. The debt that I owe has been delivered to me by the people of Faith Baptist Church. I owe a debt because of what you've invested in my life and what you've invested in my boys' lives and in Cherith's life and my wife's life. You have taught us much, and I wish I could tell the stories tonight, but we don't have time to do that. But I can remember a few of the stories. I remember going to visit Molly in the hospital one time, and I remember going there. I wanted to be an encouragement to her. I went into the room, and she's sitting in her hospital bed, and she said, Brother Caleb, I tell you what, sometimes I feel like I'm so backslidden in the hospital room. And I start singing, Revive Us Again. And she starts singing, Revive Us Again. Fill its heart with thy love. Man, she's singing in that hospital room. And I thought, my goodness, here I came in to be a blessing to this lady. And I'm walking out of the hospital room just encouraged and excited to serve God today. The investment that she made in my life that day, I can't repay her, but it means a lot to my heart. And every time I sing that song, her face will pop in my mind. I believe when I came to Faith Baptist Church, I learned how a church can love one another. The Bible says in John 15:12, and this is my commandment, that ye love one another. We moved here 400 miles away from my parents, 800 miles away from Emily's parents. We haven't spent one day, we haven't had one feeling of homesickness. Not one feeling. Because you all became our family right away. I remember coming over the Viaduct here on Armor Road for the very first time. I had the great big U-Haul there. And Emily was following me. And I really had not looked up the church website or nothing. Pastor Angel called and I knew that he was the best preacher on planet Earth. And I said, I'm going. Man, he said, pray about it. I don't have to pray. I know. What kind of consideration is that? Yep, I know. God just spoke to me. I don't need anything else than that. But I remember coming over the hill and seeing the church for the first time. Thinking to myself, oh, it's a big church. I'm going to work at a big church. Oh, my goodness. I remember thinking to myself, wow, what am I doing here? This is I just grew up in a small church, and here I'm going into a great big church, a great big ministry like this. I remember pulling around pulling around the back, and boy, the friends that I began to make and my wife began to make, all of you just made us part of the family. And I can't say thank you enough for making us part of the family for the last 8 years. It's meant so much to my kids, meant so much to my wife and I. Never have we felt homesick at all. And then seeing the church pour out their love over my wife losing her sister last May when we went to the funeral, and all the kind sayings and all the letters and all the people coming and comforting my wife and asking her how she was doing. There's no way that I can repay that. I'm a debtor for the rest of my life. You've taught me how a church can love like God wants you to love, and God wants a church to love. I also believe that I've learned how a church can have unity, how a church can go forward and serve God with a united spirit. I remember the first time I went to a men's financial meeting. I sat right here about where Brother Luke is, and I thought, oh boy, all right, what are we in for? It's January, and I didn't know what to expect. And so I was sitting there, and the men, they were talking about the finances, and yes, amen, preacher, that's what, yep, that's, you said that, and yep, we need to do that, and this, and we're right behind you, preacher. I remember leaving the auditorium that first time and thinking to myself, good night. The men of the church are so unified, and the people, the spirit is so unified. You've taught me how a church can be unified, and I can't say thank you enough. I owe a great debt for the lesson that you've taught me with being unified as a church. I've also learned how a church can come together and serve God. I look out over the crowd. Most of the times people say 20% of the church is doing 80% of the work. I tell people, you switch that statistic around, that's Faith Baptist Church, 80% of the people are doing all the work of the church, doing a great job. I've never seen a church just get so involved in the ministry and love God so much and want to serve Him. Never forget the first vacation Bible school that we had. I was just clearing out my desk before the church service, flipping through some files, and I was looking at the skit that we had. Colonel Clock, I don't know if you remember him. Colonel Clock, and oh my goodness, all kinds of crazy things we did that first year. But I can remember, I was just looking through the names of the people that worked that vacation Bible school, thinking to myself, people just wanted to get involved. I would call people and say, yeah, whatever you need, I'll help out. And my heart has learned that a church can come together and serve God with all their heart. I'll never forget the first vacation Bible school. I'll never forget Brother Rich spending so many nights together traveling to and from, or early mornings and late nights traveling to and from, reseeding Illinois church plants. The good conversations that we've had and dreaming together over reseeding Illinois. Brother, I've blessed my heart to have somebody dream with that ministry. Never forget Brother Jack Lewis. Brother Jack Lewis would come in the early Sunday morning and with that one hand and probably open the door and get on those buses, and he'd take his hand and he would turn that key and he would wait for that engine to fire up, and then he would get on the bus and he'd pull all those heater buttons and make sure the buses were warm for the workers. Brother Jack Lewis just loving God and serving the Lord with all of his heart. I just blessed my heart to see him Sunday after Sunday out there. And then hot to see Sunday morning, Brother Payne, he meant a lot to me, brother. Meant a lot to me, brother. Your sacrifice. Brother Payne gave me a letter last Monday, and I began to read it. I said, I'm shutting that thing up. I'm not reading that till I leave. Then he asked me Monday or Wednesday night, did you read my letter? I said, no, I didn't read your letter. I'm not reading that till I go. The time's going out soul winning with you, brother. And first time having seeing somebody saved together, rejoicing the Lord together, and going out there and pulling parts off buses together. And Brother Payne, you've taught me so much about serving God. Coming in early in the morning, leaving late Sunday nights, serving God all day long. Can't thank you enough. The lesson that I've learned from all of you, and I could go through the room, just person after person, I can say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I am a debtor to you in the lessons that you've taught me. You haven't come up to me and said, Brother Caleb, this is what you need to learn. You've lived the lesson and I've just watched you and I've learned the lesson through your actions. I believe tonight, I'd have to say, Faith Baptist Church, I'm a debtor to you. In more ways than I'll ever be able to repay you. I cannot repay you. I believe also that I'm a debtor, not only to the people of God, but to the mentors that was placed in my life. I remember from when I was just a teenager, looking up at Brother Board and thinking, my goodness, Brother Board, what a great man you are. And God gave me the privilege of traveling with him and then shaking Pastor Angel's hand on that Saturday night, preacher. God placed me under the greatest mentor in the world, Pastor Angel. I love you, Pastor, with all my heart. I fought. Fought a lot here. I love serving you. I love serving you, preacher. You don't mind, I take the pastor name off and just call me assistant. To assist you the rest of your life, preacher. Remember the first home visit we made? We had Molly's house. And at Molly's house, and I remember sitting and watching preacher sit on that couch and just pour out his heart to Molly. Just talk with Molly and thinking to myself, my goodness, what a pastor's heart. What a pastor's heart. Remember going to the first funeral, preacher, together. Show me how you do the funeral services. Taking notes as you were doing this funeral service. Remember traveling one time from southern Indiana. Preaching. I went to a preaching service with you, preacher. And remember traveling on, I think it's 114, coming through Moments. We were just talking about the Holy Spirit together. I love talking about the Bible with you, preacher. Love talking about the Holy Spirit and dreaming together, preacher. Thank you enough. Remember going up to Chicago together, or on one of the suburbs of Chicago, and all the staff guys were in the Suburban together, and we were talking, and we pulled up beside this car that was to the right of us, and we looked over, and this guy was on, he had this thing hanging on his mirror. It said, do not talk on your phone or something, phone, cell phone, with a great big slash through it. And we looked at that and said, wow, that's kind of interesting. And the man, he pulled out his cell phone and he began to talk on his cell phone. Oh, I loved it. Preacher Paul rolled the window down. He pulled up right beside him and he just pointed to the man and he went like this. And so the man rolls his window down. Yes, how can I help you? Preacher says, what does your little sign say on your mirror there? The man just threw his hands up and shut his phone. I'm lost, I'm lost. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the memories, preacher. I've loved it. I loved spending time with you, whether it's taking you to the airport, just talking to you, having that time just one-on-one time, preacher. I loved the time before the service. Special time. Special time. Can't thank you enough. Also, preacher, I can't thank you enough for sharing your people with me. These are your people. Preacher, you've been very kind to me to let me talk to them and try to help them or try to disciple, preacher. Thank you for sharing your people with me. It's been a huge privilege. I don't deserve it. I love one of my highlights. Coming to church on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, depending upon when the class was, but sitting down with the new converts. I love the new converts. Those of you who have been in that class, that has been my source of joy for 8 years. I love the class, and I think of different ones that have gone through and different people that have come to the platform and gotten the certificate of completion, and oh, how my heart just rejoiced this morning to see eight people across the front. Well, that's What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? The apex of our rejoicing are you folks. It's you. Those of you who have come, got saved, and been discipled, that is the source of our joy. You think to yourself, well, nobody notices. Oh, yeah. People notice. You are part of the family. I tell people, you come three times, you're part of the family. You're locked in the Faith Baptist Church. You're part of us. Man, I think of different folks that have, Brother Bibbs, I'll never forget you getting your certificate. coming up here, getting a certificate, and then sitting in preacher's seat. The assistant pastors will not sit in that seat. We're afraid that God will strike us dead if we sit in that seat. Here, Brother Bibbs says, hey, I got my certificate. Sit right there in the seat. I'm completed. Oh, man. Thank you, preacher, so much for sharing your people with me. I love it. I've loved it. Thank you for letting me tie my heartstrings to their hearts. And I'll never be able to repay you, preacher. So I just want to go and I want to put to practice what you've taught me. If I can. Best of my ability. I believe not only am I a debtor to the people of God and to the mentor that God has given me, but I believe tonight I'm a mentor to the cause of Christ, or I'm a debtor to the cause of Christ. I'm a great debtor to the cause of Christ. Tonight, all of us could say that we're debtors to the cause of Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God looked down from heaven 21 years ago, a little farm in Stuartville, Minnesota, said, I want to save Caleb Hansen. I have no idea why he would want to do that. But he saved my soul, and I have a great debt to pay him. The cause of Christ causes me to have a debt. Christ paid a debt that I could never pay. And his payment of the debt places me in a debtor's position. Tonight, I have a great debt on my shoulder to you for all the things that you've taught me, all the things that you've helped me with. Whether you know it or not, I owe a great debt to you. I owe a great debt to Pastor Angel. And then I have to raise my eyes upward and I have to say, God, I owe a great debt to you because you saved me from my sins. You enabled me to have a home in heaven. Paul told the saints at Rome that the reasonable payment for the debt that I and they would owe Christ for their salvation is their life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said we owe such a great debt. The only way that we can try to repay that debt is giving our lives to Christ. I believe if somebody were to have walked up to Christ as he was carrying that cross up Golgotha, up to the Calvary, up to Calvary, and asked Christ, why do you let them spit upon you? Why do you let them buffet you? Why do you let them plant the crown of thorns on your brow? Why do you let them whip you with the cat and nine tails? Jesus Christ, why? I believe Jesus Christ's answer would be every time he would be asked that question, because there's a debt of sin to pay. There's a great debt of sin that must be paid. And as Jesus Christ's hand was nailed to the cross, if we were to ask him, why are you doing that, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ would say, because there's a great debt of sin that must be paid today. And Jesus Christ laid his life down. I believe if the world comes to you and I and says, why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you go to church? Couldn't you be doing other things during that time? Why do you go soul winning? Why do you run the bus routes? Why do you teach a Sunday school class? I believe we would have to answer them because I owe a great debt. Because I owe a great debt that can never be paid. But the best that I can do is give my life for Christ. You may say, Brother Caleb, why are you leaving Faith Baptist Church? I'll be real honest with you. I fought it for a good while. But God keeps on calling. And my life is not my own. I owe a debt. I surrendered my life to Him. And God, I would love the privilege just being here. But God, You have called. My life is not my own. I owe a debt with my life. So God, here's my life. Whatever You want, I have to yield it to Christ. I'm a debtor tonight. I'm a debtor to You. I'm a debtor to my mentor. I'm a debtor to my Christ. We all are debtors to Christ. That's why we have to just stay faithful to Him. Stay fervent out there, knocking doors. God bless my heart. A few years ago, and knocking on Barb's door. And going by and going through the plan of salvation on the couch. And Barb said, well, I'm just going to church. My life, I guess I've never asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Or trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. I remember Cheryl going over to the house and going through the plan of salvation. Trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior. I'm a debtor tonight. I owe a great debt. I'll never be able to repay you. I just want to say thank you. Captain Charlie Plum was a jet fighters in Vietnam. He made 75 missions into enemy's territory. On his 76th flight into Vietnam in the war there into enemy's territory, he was shot down and he had to eject himself from the cockpit. As he was ejected, he had a parachute on his back and he pulled the string and he floated down into enemy's territory and he was captured. He was a POW for 6 years. He was kept in a prisoner, a POW camp. And there he had to go through horrible things and he suffered greatly. As a POW, 6 years after that kind of treatment, he was able to be let free and he was able to come back to the States and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior and began to talk about his years there in the camp, the prison camp. He began to talk about how God was with him and kept him safe from all the dangers. One day he was in Kansas City and he was eating breakfast with his wife at a hotel. While he was sitting there, a man kept on looking at him and kept on staring at him and his wife. And finally, the man, after several minutes, the man came over to the table and said, you are Charlie Plum. You flew 75 missions over enemy territory in Vietnam, a 76th flight mission that you were shot down and you landed in prisoner in the enemy's territory and you were a prisoner of war for 6 years. He said, sir, how do you know all that? The man said, Charlie Plum, I packed your parachute that night. Packed your parachute. And Charlie Plum stood up and he shook his hand and he squeezed his hand. And sir, he said, sir, I have thought to myself over and over and over who the person was that packed my parachute, that did it just perfect so that when I was ejected from that fighter jet, I landed safely there in enemy's territory. Because somebody took the time to pack my parachute, I did not die when I was ejected from that seat. And boy, that night, Charlie Plum, he was sleeping and he woke up and he was tossed back and forth about thinking about that man that he was introduced to that packed his parachute. He thought to himself, how many times did I see him on deck? How many times did I walk past him? I never said good morning to him. And how many times did I walk past him and didn't smile at him? How many times did I walk past and not even acknowledge his presence? And he thought to himself, I must always remember the one who packed my parachute. I must always remember the one who packed my parachute. Tonight, I'm a great debtor to you. I'm a great debtor to you. And I'll never forget who's packed my parachute. You packed my parachute for some wonderful things. I feel like I'm jumping out of an airplane. I feel like I'm jumping out of an airplane. I go to pull the string. Stuff that Pastor has taught me. The things that you have done for me. The times that we've spent together. I'll always remember who packed my parachute. I'm a great debtor. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm a debtor. I do owe a debt I'll never be able to pay. Church family, just say thank you. Thank you. I'll always remember to pack my parachute.